One year ago this month, we brought you a special series on the work of Czechs in Afghanistan, primarily the efforts of the charity organization People in Need, which works in some of the most remote corners of the country. Our guide in many of those places was Pavel Přikryl, a business consultant and specialist in international relations who left for Afghanistan 13 months ago to run People in Need's food facility projects. The base for those activities is the northern center of Mazar-i-Sharif, the scene of a brutal mob attack last week that left 7 UN workers dead. And that was all the more shocking because of the decade of relative peace that the city has enjoyed. I met with Pavel Přikryl upon his return to the Czech Republic to follow up on the last year and began by asking him if there had been signs of growing tensions in Mazar-i-Sharif before the attacks.
Well, not really, frankly. And as you say, it was shocking for everyone, and not only for us as like People in Need working there, but also for the local people. I spoke with some of my friends in Mazar-i-Sharif yesterday, and they are also shocked. And not only them, but like the community or the society as such. And even the mullahs condemn the things which happened on a few days ago. So it was really shocking. You know, Mazar, unlike Kabul, which is fortified and you see a lot of barbed wire and everything, Mazar is a really peaceful town, which is normal. You can walk around and nothing has ever happened there. So it was really, very shocking.
There are reports that the actual violence was spurred by only a handful of extremists who were in this demonstration of several thousand people. In the last year, have you had any experience with growing extremist provocation?
Not really in the city as such, but the truth is that the north as a region is becoming a little bit less stable. And there are groups infiltrating from the outside, but sort of radicalizing within the region. And so the sort of sense or the situation tends to be or seems to be a little bit destabilizing. And for sure, you know, Mazar-i-Sharif is a very big city. It's one of the most important cities in Afghanistan. It has always been stable and it has always been given as an example of how it can work in Afghanistan. So naturally, it's a sort of bounty for these people who are trying to create instability. And so from this perspective, you can say it is in a way obvious or inevitable that eventually they would try to do something inside of Mazar-i-Sharif.
And it's also your main base of operations. So how does it affect People in Need's work when there's these kinds of situations, security situations?
I see. Well, we have like pretty strict security rules, and if things are getting a little bit more tense, we have set of sort of processes what to do. Starting with no movement policy, no movement from the compound, and ending with evacuation to some locations.
And so how did the compound react to the Friday attacks?
On Friday, we evacuated to some safe house, but since then we returned and we work normally at the moment. And the situation is currently stable. As I told you, the society at large seems to be even in shame of what has happened. So we don't think there should be any more things like that.
Did you feel safe in the year that you were in Afghanistan? Were there moments where you felt definitely unsafe or?
Well, you never feel entirely safe when you are in Afghanistan, just given the fact that you are leaving and already you have a mindset of extremely insecure country, and what you see in the local media, it's quite sort of presetting your feeling when you arrive. On the other hand, once you arrive, you realize that it's not so you know, intensive. It's like, you know, yes, things are happening, but not necessarily around you. So you first sort of grow accustomed to the situation. Second, you realize it's not so threatening, you know, on daily basis. On the other hand, I must say, the longer you stay, the sort of more insecure you feel, which is strange, but it is said that this is the normal evolution of the feeling of expatriates in Afghanistan, probably given the fact that you may think that the probability is rising, and of course you sort of over the year you see, you know, one incident happening here, one incident happening there, and you sort of think, okay, this may be good luck of mine, but eventually something might happen. But frankly speaking, you know, the situation is not like there is shooting every day. It's really just, you know, that the information, and because all the organizations have so much focus on their own security, because obviously if something would happen to the organization, it would be like a big problem. So you sort of live in this environment of constantly evaluating what is happening around. You live in an environment where you have many rules upon you, and so it's somehow part of your life, which is probably what creates the feeling, especially at the end, that okay, I should be out of here.
Which of those incidents that you mentioned were the real low points for the mission? Was PIN ever attacked?
We've been attacked once during the time I was there. It was one of the field offices has been attacked by some group of local warlord, let's say. And of course, it influences your work to a great extent. After this incident which happened, we completely shut down our operation in the area. And it forces you to restructure the whole projects and the whole approaches. So it is very difficult at the end of the day, even though nothing happened like to anyone in this incident. It sort of forces you to completely change the whole work. And it's kind of, you know, it's a feeling that you prepare something for a long time. You put a lot of effort and money in something. And then one incident like this just, you know, destroys the whole thing in one night.
So will your beneficiaries be affected by, for example, by the disturbances from Friday?
I hope not, because this is really a little bit separate incident for us. It was not targeted at us. It may influence somehow our, let's say, movement around the city itself. But our beneficiaries are in different locations. We work mostly, I mean, the field work really is proper, is done by our local employees, and the expatriates go for monitorings, let's say once, twice a month. So I don't think it will in any way change anything for our beneficiaries. But of course, if there is an incident in the location which forces us to leave the location, then it's, at the end of the day, it's the biggest problem for the beneficiaries. And as I was telling you about this incident which happened to us in one of the districts, it was just before the time when we supposed to distribute many things to the beneficiaries. We had trainings going on, and since we retreated from the location, these people are now without the help. And because we retreated and we were the only organization there, it means the people are without help at all.
When I was in Afghanistan with you, we visited a lot of your food facility project beneficiaries and saw how they lived and how the projects were helping them. Can you kind of follow up on any of those families, how it's gone since then?
Well, you know, since April, let's say we visited, if I am not mistaken, some families to whom we distributed the improved seeds of wheat. So I can tell you, you know, after you left, a few months after that, there was a harvest, and we conducted quite a detailed study of the results. And on average, you know, these farmers had a 50% better harvest on their fields, which at the end of the day means that they will be much, much more able to feed their families. It means that next year they will have better seeds to plant again. These higher yielding crops, and it also means that they will have some food reserves for the most vulnerable in the communities. So you see these And this is exactly what I was talking about, that you see the real benefits. And you know, this is just one example out of many. I can see, you know, that I can see the graphs of productivity of people to whom we teached and gave some productive inputs in, let's say, beekeeping or poultry management and carpet weaving and things like that. And you see that the charts are going up. You see that the people are able now to satisfy their basic needs much more easier than they used to.
How many people have been have benefited from your projects?
Well, in all these projects, you have like the direct beneficiaries, really people with whom you worked individually. So you give them some inputs or trainings or things like that. Obviously, every activity is different. In total, I think these really individual beneficiaries, we would have like 4,000 to 5,000 in these two projects I was working on. But also there are some activities which are targeted on a sort of higher level of the society, either to sort of business enterprises like cooperatives in agriculture, or to the really like societal level where you, for example, we are quite focused also on nature resource management. So we teach the community and we sort of institutionalize some rules about how to manage the natural resources. So at the end of the day, we are targeting not these 5,000 people only. These are like sort of the most vulnerable, but we are targeting the society at large. And these are like tens of thousands people in the locations.
And what are the goals for the future? Is the mission going to continue to try to fulfill the tasks that it already has set for itself, or are there new branches, new projects that the mission will start working on?
Well, People in Need is working in Afghanistan since 2001, since really the beginning. And obviously the focus is shifting all the time a little bit. And basically now the sort of biggest focus is on two areas. One is agriculture and connected with food security, assuring food security and livelihood. So sort of development of the agriculture sector and bringing the new income generation activities. And the second area is agriculture education. We have a big program already running for a longer time, which is focused on agricultural high schools. This is program where you don't see the immediate results. You know, you sort of are helping the schools to have better curriculum, to be more focused on practical works and basically with the goal that the students coming out of these schools will be able to be, you know, to sort of modernize the whole sector, which is very sort of long-term goal, but it makes a lot of sense since Afghanistan is a country which big proportion of the GDP is created by agricultural sector.
What about you personally after a year in Afghanistan? How do you feel in the Czech Republic after being away for so long?
Well, it's always great to come back home after some travels, and especially when you come back home from Afghanistan, you sort of appreciate things which we have, and you sort of tend to overlook the small petty problems which we are usually discussing in politics or in general. So of course I'm very positively tuned at the moment, and I'm glad to be back home, while at the same time a little bit sad that I'm not back in Afghanistan, but it's nice to come home.
Pavel Pšikril was talking there to Christian Falvey in this week's edition of One on One. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, but until then, from myself, Sarah Barufka,